Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the BWP Trust half-year results briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will just need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to your speaker today, Michael Wedgwood. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our half-year results teleconference. We've released to the ASX this morning our half-year results announcement, our half-year report, and the slides, which I'll go through now and before taking some questions. I have with me Andrew Ross, our Portfolio Manager, and David Hawkins, our Finance Manager. We'll go straight to slide five, which just provides a bit of a summary of our half-year outcomes. The focus in BWP continues to be very much on the existing assets in the portfolio in terms of upgrading stores occupied by Bunnings wherever that's required, repositioning assets exited by Bunnings, and improving the zoning on properties in the portfolio when it's right time to do so. We remain mostly exposed to the Bunnings business, and we expect Bunnings to continue to be very resilient as a business, given its ability to keep evolving regardless of what's going on in the broader economy, and we don't see any change in that. We're still not seeing good opportunities for growth, particularly in our structure as a long-term owner of assets, but we remain active in looking. In terms of the results, total revenue fell slightly for the half on a comparative basis, and that reflects the rent foregone from divestments that occurred last financial year and a couple of rent-free periods while properties are being repositioned, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. Distributable profit for the half was up 1%, and that was from portfolio rental growth, a reduction in funding costs, and a modest release of capital profits. The half-year distribution grew 1% to a bit over 0.09 per unit, and that was in line with the distributable amount. NTA has grown about 5% in the last 12 months, and that's mainly due to increases in the value of a number of properties in the portfolio, and particularly in this last 6 months. I think 4% of the 5% growth occurred in this round of valuations. We did revalue or independently revalue a number of properties in this cycle. We'll talk more about those in a moment. The Trust's property portfolio generated 2.2% like-for-like growth on an annualized basis, and that takes into account the average inflation of our CPI-linked leases of 1.6%. The portfolio cap rate, as at the 31st of December, was 6.08%, and that's tightened from 6.3% at the 30th of June 2019. There haven't been that many new Bunnings sold recently, but whatever has been sold continues to be strongly bid for, and there have been a couple of recent transactions below 5%. So that's indicative of continued strong support for Bunnings properties. Portfolio WALE at the 31st of December was 4.3 years, and that's similar to what it was at the 30th of June. During the period, we completed capital works for the repositioning of our ex-Bunnings Hoxton Park property in Sydney. I'll talk a bit more about that. And we also finalized the rezoning of our Mindarie property in Perth. And we also completed the upgrade of our Villawood store in Sydney. All of our other repositioning upgrade work is progressing in accordance with our plans, and I'll touch on a bit of that in a moment. At 31st of December, there were 75 properties in the portfolio and about 98% occupancy. Gearing remains at about 18%, and our cost of debt as at the 31st of December was 3.5%. If we go to slide seven, it just shows the key aspects of the Trust's financials for the period to the 31st of December compared to the prior comparative period. We can take questions on that. The one thing I will comment on is there was a bit of an increase in expenses during the period, and that was mainly attributable to increases in Victorian land tax and also outgoings on properties which are currently being redeveloped where those costs would normally be paid by the tenant, but during the redevelopment we're paying them. If we now go to slide 9, it just provides an update on market rent reviews that were finalised during the period. There were 4. The overall outcome was flat, and that's in line with our view on overall portfolio rent at the moment, which is broadly in line with market. And I think we've been saying that for a little while. We expect some ups and downs of individual properties depending on what evidence is available, but overall we think it's generally at market. So in terms of these rent reviews, Coburg had a good increase, Balcatta in Perth had a bit of a decrease, but you need to take into account it had quite a large increase at the last market rent review, and then the rest were fairly close to market. We do have a number of market rent reviews in determination at the moment. It is a process that takes time and requires quite a bit of detailed work to make sure there is relevant market evidence and that it's taken into consideration. There are also a number of market rent reviews falling due in this half, so we are doing quite a bit of work at the moment around rent reviews. Some of the rent reviews have been outstanding for a while. Any of those are in determination, so we're literally waiting for that process to complete. And also, as I think we've said before, you do need to take into account the fact that these reviews form evidence for other market rent reviews, so there's needs to be a bit of a sequence to some of them. But we are making good progress on any of those outstanding reviews. If we go to slide 10, we normally show this slide in terms of transactions. As I mentioned at the start, we are starting to see new stores selling on cap rates below 5%, one in Brisbane, one in Melbourne, and that I think continues to be just indicative of the strong support, and obviously it provides support for our current valuations. We go to slide 11 in terms of the revaluation that occurred during the period. As mentioned in the highlights, the portfolio cap rates lower at 6.08%. There were 18 independent valuations undertaken during this period and 57 internal valuations. During the period, 38 properties had cap rate contraction, 32 there was no change, and 5 properties there was an increase in cap rate. Cap rate compression occurred for properties either where options have been exercised or where particularly independent valuations were just adjusting to the market. Where the cap rates expanded, they were mainly for properties that Bunnings has indicated it's moving out of, or they're nearing the end of a lease term and we're not 100% certain what's going to happen at that time. On slide 12 and 13, we've just shown the results of the independent valuations during the period. Probably the most significant increase in value on those two pages was for a Port Melbourne property, and that's really a function of the location of that property and the increase in land value, and the fact that, you know, eventually that property will have a higher and better use, as will most of the properties around it. So it is indicative of, you know, the where the location's right. You know, the longer term value of these properties can be quite significant. In terms of, if we go now to slide 15, we normally just show this slide in terms of the makeup of what we call our core portfolio. We've currently got 67 properties in it. Typically, we exclude any properties that are currently being repositioned. We do, we have included in that 67 Hoxton Park on the basis that the CapEx has been completed and it's over 90% leased in its new form. So that is, from our perspective, a core portfolio. On slide 16, we just have shown there the graph that we normally provide in terms of weighted average lease expiry profile. I think as we've indicated previously, in years like 2021 and 2025, there are a number of lease expiries and they coincide with previous portfolio acquisitions. And, you know, that's just how they fall. What we've always tried to do and what is included on slide 17 is lease expiries out for the next 3 years and I guess our view of what may or may not happen and any further out than that, it becomes the information becomes less relevant, but we do feel over a three-year period we have a fairly good view in terms of what's going on. So on slide 17, since we've last provided an update, there's been options exercised at Fountain Gate and at Port Melbourne. In terms of other properties on that list, Northland, we've previously indicated that Bunnings is seeking planning approval on an alternative site. At this stage, we're still not aware of the timing of that. You know, we'll just have to wait and see as to whether Bunnings exercises another option or not. In the meantime, we are working on alternative scenarios that for that property. We've talked about it previously. It's very well located right next to the Northland Shopping and in quite a strong retail precinct in that area. In terms of other properties, in the 2011 portfolio, Wagga is included in that. We're not 100% sure with Wagga. There is potential that Bunnings may need a larger store in that location. It's Wagga's quite a strong regional centre and performing quite well, so we're waiting to see on that one. And the only other one that we've previously mentioned is Midland in Perth, which we are aware that Bunnings is seeking an alternative site, but again, I'm not sure about the timing. And again, we are working on alternative scenarios if we need to. Midland's a strong commercial area, and we expect it to present some other options for that site. That site has been a very good performing site for Bunnings. It's a very old store. It's one of the original stores, so it's been a great performer for Bunnings. But with the change, you know, some of the changes in Bunnings' model in that location, they have a preference for a larger store. Other than that, there's probably nothing else to update on that site at the on that slide at the moment. We're not aware of anything else going on. So if we turn to slide 18, we have agreed an upgrade with Bunnings on their Coburg store. The details of that upgrade are on that slide. Importantly, on completion of the upgrade, Bunnings will enter into a new 10-year lease with under the same terms that that are in place at the moment. If we go to slide 19, we've just provided a bit of detail there on our Hoxton Park repositioning in Sydney, and we're pretty happy with the outcome on this property. Bunnings surrendered its lease in June 2019. There was a bit of lease tail remaining, but it allowed us to start construction. Construction, or well, total project cost is about $13 million. As we speak, the property is a bit over 90% leased to mainly national tenants, and we've got two relatively small tenancies remaining, which we expect to have filled mid-year. WALE has increased to over 10 years. We've had quite an uplift in value on that property of over $20 million on completion, taking into account the extended WALE and the new leases in place. So that has or is a good example, I guess, of what can happen with an ex-Bunnings property. And, yeah, we're pretty pleased with that one, how that's turning out. In terms of other stores being repositioned, if we go to slide 21, we've just provided a quick brief on where we're at on those properties. Mandra, Amart's operating, Snooze is operating. We do have 2,500 square metres there to fill. We are in discussions on that property, on that remaining space. So we hope to have that resolved shortly. Cairns, we do have a concept and feasibility finalised for a development there. We've got heads of agreement secured for 2,500 square metres, and we're in discussions with two other tenants for the balance. So we expect to report on further progress on that one in due course. Port Macquarie, Bunnings has moved to another property down the road. Construction's well underway. We should have that finished in the next few weeks. Amart are going into that property, and we have a gym tenant as well, and we're working on the balance of leasing for that property. Morley was one of the properties that Bunnings indicated a few years ago it was going to move out of into an ex-master store. It's been trading in that ex-master store for a couple of years, but has kept trading from the Morley property as well. It has indicated that it will be leaving the Morley property mid this year, so we are working on what to do that property. You may recall it's located adjacent to the Galleria shopping centre. It's in a pretty good location, so we do expect to be able to find a good option for that property. Northland have already spoken about, and Mindari I touched on. We're talking to some potential interest in that property now that we've got it rezoned. It has a lot more flexibility than what it did prior to that. If we now go to slide 22, just in terms of divestments, we've spoken previously about Underwood and Belmont North being under conditional option agreements, but subject to the satisfaction of various conditions. At this stage, those conditions haven't been met. We're still working on that. It was always going to take quite a bit of time, so we'll report more on that when there's something more concrete to talk about in due course. Slide 24 just provides, I guess, the current position in terms of our debt. Our cost of debt is still coming down as at the 31st of December, 3.5%. We go to slide 25. It just shows the debt duration in a graph. And slide 26 shows our current hedging. A fair, because of our bond issues being fixed rate, most of our hedging is attributable to to those fixed rate bonds, and our swaps are rolling off at this stage to get us back into the range of hedging that we prefer over time. So that just leaves our outlook on slide 28. From our perspective, the outlook for the Australian economy is for continuing low growth, with interest rates to continue to stay low for as far as we can see. Asset values across the board are quite elevated, returns are low. We're not expecting these conditions to change anytime soon, unless there's some risk event which causes a broader impact in the economy. In this environment, demand for Bunnings Warehouse properties we think is likely to remain stable, and that's certainly supported by continuing strong bidding for anything that comes available. In terms of Bunnings Warehouse properties, we think that if there's to be any change in that, it will be more macro-driven rather than being a retail-driven thing for Bunnings relative to maybe some other retail. As far as we can see, Bunnings is still in pretty good shape, and given the strength of its business model, we can't see why that's likely to change anytime soon. In this environment, we still believe we're in a pretty good position with low gearing and sustainable cash flow, and we still have good access to funding if we need it. At this stage, we just can't see value for the BWP structure with some of the properties that are available at the moment. We expect the portfolio rent to continue to grow as a result of CPI and fixed rate rent reviews. As I mentioned earlier, we've still got a lot of market rent reviews underway. And as I indicated, we think most rents are fairly close to the market, so we're not expecting big swings either way, other than, if there's some particular evidence on a particular property. But on balance, we think the portfolio rent is at market. Our short-term focus remains on achieving good outcomes for any properties vacated or to be vacated by Bunnings, and we're continuing to make good progress on that. We continue to talk to Bunnings, in terms of upgrades and over time, we're being able to do more of those. Obviously, they're dependent on planning and also on agreeing terms with Bunnings. We haven't stopped looking for opportunities to expand the portfolio. I guess our focus is on long-term rental growth and occupancy, and our strong preference is for property with higher and better use potential over the longer term. In terms of our distribution for the balance of the year, we think we'll deliver a distribution about 1% higher than what we pay, or what our ordinary distribution paid for the year ended 30th of June 2019, which is in line with our interim distribution. And if necessary, we can use a bit of capital profit to support that growth, depending on the timing of things. So that's a summary of where we're at. So happy to hand back to the conference organiser to take any questions.
Thank you. Certainly, ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin that question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, just please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If at any time you need to cancel your request, just please press the pound or the hash key. So once again, that's *1 on your telephone. But your first question comes from Adrian Dark from Citi. Please ask your question, Adrian.
Good morning, Michael and team. I had a question in relation to changes in the portfolio valuations, particularly the independent vals, which I think are on slide 12 and 13. It looks like cap rates have tightened on a number of properties, even where there is quite a small amount of time remaining on the leases at those assets. Should we be thinking about that as an indication of the risk that the valuers are seeing of Bunnings vacating those properties and perhaps any reassessment of that?
Thanks for the question, Adrian, and I'll pass it on to Andrew as well to comment on. But there has been a bit of a shift in terms of how they're looking at the remaining lease term. And to your point, I think the valuers, particularly this time around, are prepared to take more of a view on in terms of what they think is likely the longer term occupancy than maybe they have done in the past. But Andrew, do you want to make any further comment on that?
Yeah, just in addition to that, Adrian, I think what the valuers need to do is they need to reflect what's happening in the market. And what's happening in the market is that investors are not as concerned with that 12-year term certain as they have been in the past. And in addition to that, I think investors are looking at location, and some investors are just seeing that it's a Bunnings covenant and it doesn't matter where it's located, they're still going to pay a tight yield on it.
Okay, thank you. And then the distinction in the portfolio that you've been talking about for a number of periods now, the sort of core versus alternative use, is that something that you see as ongoing or more of a temporary thing that you're working through? Ultimately, all of the assets come back into the core category and perhaps growth sort of reverts to something like its prior trajectory?
Yeah, certainly, Adrian. I mean, that is the objective. And, providing we're, happy with the longer-term outlook for any property, it will go back into the core portfolio. Otherwise we may look to divest things. But and yes, over time we do expect it to normalise. I mean, because we sort of pay out 100% of our profit at any time we think the right thing to do to sell a property, we obviously make that a little bit more difficult to achieve in the short term, but certainly that is the objective, that will balance out over time.
Okay. The CY21 expiries of about 19% of the portfolio presumably will have a big impact on that. Is it a view on how they're tracking?
In terms of potentially Bunnings not exercising options, is that what you're saying?
That's right. So yeah. Potentially new assets going into the alternative use.
Yeah, look, we, I guess, in terms of 2021, I mean, we're highlighting 3 years out, which includes 2021 of what we think's going on. There are very few properties in that list which we are concerned about at the moment, and we've highlighted them if we are. So certainly at this point in time, our expectation is the vast majority of those properties' options are likely to be renewed, obviously, unless something happens between now and then.
Okay, and sorry, just finally from me, I think you touched on other expenses, a couple of moving parts there, including Victorian Land Tax. Could you perhaps give us a sense of what a sensible run rate is for that item as you see it, please?
David, do you have a view on that?
Yeah, so we'll probably see a slight increase in 2021 going forward, depending on what the land tax is on the respective states.
Okay.
Some of the cost is relating to outgoings on the property's being redeveloped at the moment. So once they're fully leased, those costs have come down.
Understand. Thanks very much.
Once again, just a reminder, it's just star one to ask a question today. But your next question comes from Ben Brayshaw from JP Morgan. Please ask your question, Ben.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks for the update. I was just wondering if I could get your, I suppose, general thoughts or views around the risks associated with the Cawthlin sites. On our numbers, there are circa 20 properties nationally that Cawthlin had either acquired or optioned up, subject to planning. Obviously, they're no longer required. A large part of those are, in fact, in Victoria. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on the potential for overlapping catchments with BWP's properties and some views or thoughts you might have around potential competition going forward from those sites, which will now be, you know, put back into the market in some form, you know, seeking pre-commitment or pre-lease opportunities.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ben. Look, in general terms, and obviously we don't necessarily have any better information than anybody else, I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure that Cawthlin has necessarily has to do anything immediately. So I would imagine that they will take a bit of time to work out what they want to do, given they've got a DC under construction at the moment in Victoria, plus, as you say, all those properties. The four of the properties that we sold 12 months ago were actually sold to Cawthlin, and you know, at the time we couldn't sort of reveal that because we're under confidentiality agreement, but they're all I guess open in the market that you know, the those sites were sites that we used to own. So in the case of those particular properties, one was at Epping, one was at Dandenong, one was at Oakley South, and there was one at Burleigh Heads. I guess they're not of concern to our other properties in terms of what happens on those sites. I think of the other properties that we know that they own, I don't think there's anything that would overly concern us in terms of, I think, what you're referring to. I mean, there's a couple of things. One, I guess you had a new entrant into the market, which that's always good for everybody, I guess, to have a new entrant in the market. So that's disappointing generally, and I'm sure disappointing specifically to some, you know, some other parties. But, you know, in terms of the impact on BWP, you know, I don't see a great impact other than, you know, maybe over time we might have had opportunity to, you know, either sell or form some other relationship with Cawthlin as a new entrant into Australia. So sorry, that was a long-winded answer to your question. I don't know whether I actually specifically answered them or not.
No, thanks, Michael. So you're not necessarily concerned about anything in particular at this point on the leasing front?
I don't think so. I'm just generally, I think it is good to have new entrants in the market, so that's just a little bit disappointing.
Yep, okay, thanks.
Okay, just a final reminder, it is star one to ask a question or comment today. Okay, we've got one more question, just from the line of Richard Jones from JP Morgan. Please ask your question, Richard.
Oh, g'day, Michael. Just a follow-up question. Just on Coburg, obviously the upgrade is priced at a funding rate of 5.5 for you guys.
Yeah.
Just interested in how that negotiation came about, given, you know, the existing cap rate 6.5.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. I mean, it's I mean, it's really sort of market driven, and it is a multi-tenanted property, that one. So in addition to Bunnings, it has a number of other tenants. So it's effectively a large format centre with a Bunnings in it. But the 5.5% is, in that case, is market driven because it wasn't in the, you know, it's not specified in the lease. So it's more directed to... you know, an average new store cap rate.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, there are no further questions at this time. I'll hand back to Michael for any closing remarks.
Thanks, everybody, for participating in this call. I imagine it's a busy couple of weeks for reporting. So if you have any follow-up questions, either get in contact by phone or email, and we'll hopefully talk to you all soon. So we'll end the call there. Thanks very much for participating.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for all participating. You may now all disconnect.